My daughter's like, you're always on your phone. I work more because I love what I'm doing, and it caused a lot of friction within my family. I was selling more books, like had the best royalty month ever. The second you stop moving, the second your business stops growing, I'm going to be doing a new format. I don't want to say too much.
So surprised. You left your 9-to-5 to work a 24/7 job. I burned myself out working a 9-to-5 and doing content, which you know what that's like.
I lost my studio that I was using.
Oh,
so
no.
I put YouTube on a little bit of a pause. Yes, giving yourself that grace that it's okay is so important.
I actually met you through Instagram, and we have very cool mutual friend, Amy. Shout out to Amy. After Amy's interview, she goes, you know, I have this amazing friend who is just going to be great for this episode. And I said, oh, great. Bring her over. And then that's how we met.
Yes. Amy is the woman of connections for sure.
I know. That's really, really true. But I do want to cover your brand. What your origin story? What made Rela? Why was Rela B born? Like, I want to know, how did everything start for you?
Definitely. So it was a very long, twisty road, but I would say Rela B was destined to be born when I was in third grade and I got to make my own autobiography story, and we got them published in a hardcover book and like sent to us. It was part of a program that we did to self-publish our own little stories. And at that moment, I was like, I need to write like for my job. Like, this is what I want to do. I want to make books. And I didn't go to school for that. I kind of like lost that dream for a little while. I lost a lot of my creativity, honestly. I worked as a teacher for a little bit. Then I worked for the Clark County School District in the technology department. And I was like, I don't like this. I went and I became a flight attendant. Then I worked in HR. Then the pandemic happened. And I was like, you know, I'm going to try to do what I've always wanted to do, because on all of those long flights, I would write stories or budget or journal. I was just always writing. And then there was actually another flight attendant that would spend her time writing books. And I was like, that is amazing. Like, that's what I'm going to do. And so I decided to go ahead and dive in. But I wanted to make sure that there was a well-rounded experience when it comes to reading, because lots of kids don't like to read as much as, you know, our generation used to. So I created different types of content, whether it's audio content, video content, and then obviously the books as well, so that they can dive in.
Interesting. Interesting. So you went basically from like corporate to like this whole new experience, this creative experience. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because there's this author that I read a lot. I probably mentioned him 1,000 times on this episode. Robert Greene. He did this book called Mastery, and it really talked about how our love starts within our childhood, like what we want to do. Our talents are actually born from there. And then later on through life, we start pivoting away from our true talents, right? Like, oh, he's really great at math, or he's really great at reading, or he's just a great storyteller. And as time goes by, we kind of deviate away from our passion because things start getting in the way. Life, money, experiences, careers, pressure. Do we have a certain degree on certain things? So with that, he said that the best way to find your true passion is to go back to who you were. I'm very fascinated with that idea. And I did want to, once you, Rela B was born, once you developed this brand, what were the challenges or surprises in stepping into this new identity? Were there like challenges that you're like, oh man, I have to sort of incorporate this and that, you know, or change certain things in my aspect to make this work?
I would say challenges that I had were definitely like mindset things and work-life balance, because I get very, very fixated on what I'm doing, especially when I'm having fun and I'm really enjoying my work.
Right.
So transferring from doing something where, let's say I'm flying across the country and I'm only working on the plane, mm-hmm. or when I'm doing HR and I'm only working in the office, it's very different when now I'm working whenever I want, wherever I want. And I work more because I love what I'm doing. And it caused a lot of friction within my family. And then at one point, my daughter was like, you're always on your phone. And I'm like, I'm not just on my phone. Like, I'm actually trying to connect with people, learn things, format a book, write a book. I'm like, there's so many different things that I'm doing using my phone or technology. So I had to really start putting like boundaries in between me and work. And I think the other thing, like, it's great to be self-employed. It's absolutely amazing. But also, like, the second you stop moving, the second your business stops growing, unless you have like a ton of automation in place, which I do, which is very nice. But you know, it's harder to scale. It's harder to like grow if you're not actively pursuing things or making moves. So those were definitely things that I had to get used to.
I get that. I 100% can relate to that because now that I'm in my, I guess what you would call my freelancing solo journey, it's still the same. I'm still working and I'm probably working the entire day now. I went to a networking event this week in New York and they said that. They said, "Oh, you left your 9 to 5 to work a 24/7 job." And then I said, "I never put it that way until last night. I'm exhausted. I only slept 4 hours. I got a client to email me at 1 o'clock in the morning, and of course there was some time difference, but it was super funny." And then I said to myself, like I was literally at 1 in the morning responding to an email, and I said to myself, "You know what? But I prefer it anyway because, yes, you're working more, but it's yours. It's like your baby, right? You're working towards that." But I do agree that in the interval of all that, you have to integrate some type of balance with your family and understand also that there are boundaries and there's times where you're going to have to take a break and it's okay.
Yes, giving yourself that grace that it's okay is so important.
Yeah. I literally had that conversation with my coach the other day and she was like, "You have to give yourself like a break." You know, like you have to give yourself a moment to think, or it's okay if you can't work on, you know, client calls or sending emails. Like it's okay if you had to step out to go to the grocery store for a second, you know, to go get something. Like, because if it were me, I would feel guilty and I'd be like, "Oh my gosh, I'm not working." Because, like you, right? I get really obsessed with what I'm doing and I'm like, "Oh, this is all I'm gonna do. Like, this is what I'm going to dedicate myself to." Now, let's talk about creating content for kids. Can you tell me what's your approach in writing these stories for children?
Yeah, so they always seem to stem from conversations that I have from adults. And I kind of ask, like, what do you wish you knew when you were younger? Like, what do you wish you would have learned? And one of the first books that I wrote was called If Shapes Could Talk. And it was about just understanding that comparison is the robber of joy. Like, if you compare yourself to others, you're never going to match up to the person next to you, even if it's your twin. Like, there's always differences. So don't compare yourself. Like, appreciate yourself and your life for what they are, and find the good in it. So that was one of my first books. And then another first book that I wrote was called Mom, I Got a Dollar. And that one is about financial literacy for kids. And it teaches them the concept of debt. And whenever I do a presentation surrounding that book, I literally have kids stand up and show them what debt looks like right to their face. And I do that by giving them fake money. I give one child $10. I'm like, "Okay, this one is interest, and this interest is going to lend money over here to debt. So
Wow.
interest gives debt $10." And then I'm like, "Okay, interest told debt that they want $20 back tomorrow for getting that $10. So now they want 20. They doubled it." And so then I asked the kid that's debt, I'm like, "Okay, so do you have $20 now?" And they're like, "No." I'm like, "Well, what are you gonna do to get $20?"
Oh
And
my God.
they just look at me, they're like little deer eyes and headlights. It's so funny. But they're just like, "Oh my God, like I don't have the money." And because they do little worksheets during the reading, I'm like, "Okay, well, I'll pay you because you did a really good job on your worksheet." So I give them the $20. I'm like, "Look, you have $20 now." And they're like, "Okay, cool." I'm like, "Now you have to give the money back to interest." And they're like, "Okay." So normally they'll give them one $10 bill. They're like, "Oh, here's your $10 back and I can keep 10." I'm like, "No, you have to give it all to them. So all of your hard work just went to interest."
Oh.
How does that feel? It's very profound to see like how they conceptualize it when they're right in front of you, you know. Their little wheels are turning. I'm like, I hope I'm doing good work in helping create a studious little kids that are financially free in the future."
That's beautiful. What does the age group look like? Like, what's I guess, the oldest age group look like for you, in teaching this? Because I feel like this would be very valuable. at every stage of, let's say, elementary school or every stage in middle school, you know?
So primarily now, because most of my content surrounds early elementary school, I normally just do elementary schools. I have been asked to do workshops for high schoolers, so I'll be doing that in the summer as well.
Nice.
Surrounding financial literacy, but I'm not going to surround it, like I'm not going to make it about the book necessarily.
I see.
For the high schoolers. So for the books, I just try to stay in elementary school, and then anywhere else I just go as like a keynote speaker and talk to them about different like concepts of making money, debt, interest, savings, like different options that they have.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What has been the feedback or favorite stories from, let's say, young readers or parents that they've come up to you about, like, oh, this, we love this about this particular thing?
I think it's just that the little kids really like the fun aspects of seeing themselves as a shape, because lots of the times I'll ask them, like, if you were in the story, like, what shape would you be?
Yeah.
And I get lots of stars and diamonds. For some reason, nobody wants to be a triangle. I don't know why, but they're like, no, don't want to be a triangle. And then some kids just get really excited about the money aspect. I think kids love money because they know that they can get something with it. That's... like my daughter thinks money, just like, you just ask for money and people give it to you. Like, that's, I'm like, that's not how it works.
I love it. I love the innocence. I love, you know, when they try, you know, my daughter's not there yet. She's a toddler, but yeah, I can see she does. I saw her one time because I was making changes. She was about to rip my $100 bill. And I was like, I don't know how she got it. I think she, you know, she went into my purse. And then when I saw her with the $100 bill, I'm like, so I had to order fake dollar bills from Amazon to compensate, you know. So she's just been breaking, like, she's just been tearing $100 bills, $20 bills. But they're, thank God they're fake. So it's okay. So you added YouTube to your brand. Can you talk about your YouTube brand? How's that going for you?
Yeah, of course. So right now I'm going through a bit of a transition. So I lost my studio that I was using.
Oh, no.
I put YouTube on a little bit of a pause.
Oh.
I also had to get new clothing because I have tons of circles. And originally I had paused because my clothing kept getting little blank spots in it where the rotoscope wouldn't pick up. So the green screen was really messing up. So I waited. I manufactured a new outfits that had darker colors. So then I finally got that, and then we had to move and I lost my studio. So I'm probably on a pause for the summer. I'll probably start back up in fall. But
oh,
I do love the YouTube, and I'm going to actually reorganize the way that it's done on every episode. We normally do a riddle, a stretching sequence, and then we do a little bit of Spanish ASL regarding the topic. And then after that, we'll read the story and I go over the lessons of the story at the end. But I'm going to be doing a new format when we come back. So I'm very excited about that. And I also am working on starting a nonprofit so that I can get better funding to not only do the YouTube channel, but also create a film. I don't want to say too much.
Oh, don't, let's not say too much. It's a surprise.
Exactly.
It's a surprise. It's great. No, but this is great. See, this is what really inspires me and what gets me going. We're not just beyond, we're beyond our identities. So we're beyond what we are. Like, yeah, like, you know, I have my podcast, but there's so many things surrounding my podcast. You have your, you know, YouTube, content creation, the books. You have so many things going on, but you're also, you know, you're also finding there's also other umbrellas beneath that. And I feel like that's very important for any mom out there that's listening, because a lot of the mom creators that I, that follow me are creators that are trying to find themselves again, whether through a side hustle or converting that side hustle into a full-time job, you know, to be able to do it. And it's difficult. It's difficult because there's so many aspects of it. It's not just recording video. It's not just recording a podcast. It's so many behind the scenes preparation that comes from that. It's outfit, it's scripting for you specifically, it's storytelling, it's creating. And I think it's really impressive. Do you keep yourself motivated to do these type of videos? Because I know that this is very children-based.
Honestly, I am very self-driven, very motivated when I'm in a really good environment. So, because of recent transitions, I wasn't in a good environment for quite a while, and now I'm getting back into it. I've just been like on fire. Candidly, like I'm going through a bit of like a separation right now. So the funny thing is I as soon as it happened, like as soon as we were like, okay, we're not doing this anymore, there was so many almost like confirmation biases that came out. Like I was getting booked for more gigs, I was selling more books, like had the best royalty month ever, and I could just feel it. Like I just felt so much relief getting out of it, and now I'm just like on fire again. I will have to be more creative in the way I do things just because of this transitional period is in a really weird space, but I'm just so excited to get back into it. My podcast has been running reruns for a little while because I've been trying to figure things out,
That's
but
so
I can't
nice.
wait to get back in the studio and like
Oh.
probably starting next week or the week after, like once I finish settling in.
Right.
I'm just so excited to finish publishing the books that I have out, and well, they're done. They're not out yet. But yeah, I'm very self-driven. It's just making sure that you love yourself and you give that attention to yourself and you have a good environment that's like feeding into your mentality, I guess,
That makes
for
sense.
me. So
Motivation for me, it's like a day by day thing.
oh.
Again, like I'm very organized in the sense of like I like routines. So I like I love getting up in the morning and knowing that at 7 a.m. I want my calendar to be booked. Like I want to get up in the morning and know that at 7 I have something, that at 8 I have something, that at 9 I have something, that at 10 I have something. Whenever I have like a blank calendar, I'm like, what happens on this day? Like what do we do on this particular day? But it's a day by day basis for me, and I think it's because of the adjustment from former corporate job to doing this full time, which it's different. It's, you know, it's my own thing, so I totally get it. I'm really happy that you are taking a break though, because it's really good to know when to stop. Actually, this is my first recording in about a month and a half because I pre-recorded all of my episodes, I think in February. So I literally just had them all pre-recorded, and I don't have to technically record until the summer if I don't want to. But you know, the interest in your brand and what really called me, you know, our mutual friend, I really wanted to interview you, but this makes me happy because now I'm interviewing you and it's okay. Like I have, you know, it's a beautiful conversation. It's no pressure. It's not like, oh my gosh, I have to get content out, because right now I'm in the face of like, I need a break. You know, I burned myself out completely working a 9 to 5 and doing content, which you know what that's like. And being in the content creation space is especially a platform that requires a lot of creativity and a lot of thinking, a lot of processing, and a lot of storytelling. It's quite a thing. So I want to congratulate you for being so successful at it and being very driven about it. I'm with you. So virtually high five over there. High-fiving
Thank
over
you.
there.
I think it's really important, also in the realm of motivation. I don't know about you, but Rella B is almost like a way to heal my inner child. Like everything about Rella B has something to do with something I wanted to do as a child and wasn't able to. Like the way I design my clothes, I used to want to be a fashion designer. I wasn't always able to wear the clothes that I wanted. So like now I do. You know, there's so many different parts of just little Gabriella that now I get to fulfill. And so a lot of the motivation comes from that. And, you know, when I'm not able to do it, it is kind of painful a little bit.
I totally understand, but I'm proud that you're taking this break and that you're coming back full force in September. So you said you're not out with your book yet, correct? Your book is not out yet?
So I have three out now that are published on Amazon and available to the public. But I have another seven that I need to get published throughout the year.
Oh,
So,
hey.
yes, that's why I'm
What?
like, yeah, I gotta get on it. They're done, but just gotta work on the marketing and get all of that stuff done. So I'm really excited about it.
Do you have a particular marketing agency, or do you do all the marketing yourself? Like, what about the illustrations? Is all that you, or do you control that narrative?
Yes, so I self-publish. I hire all of the people, and I learned how to format. I learned how to do that all by myself. It's very interesting because there's so many different hats you can have as a self-published author, and I love the product that I create, but I learn so much all of the time that honestly, I could redo every book like 10 times over and still not be happy because there's always something new.
Thank you so much, really, for taking the time to speak with me today. This was super exciting and super fun. I want to show the listeners of where they can find you, your podcast, and your videos.
Yes, of course. So you can find me at rellabbooks.com. That's RellaBBooks.com. And everything is on there. My in-person visits, my virtual visits, my books, my podcast, my YouTube channel, free printables. And I even have a freebie for parents that will help them be able to make a little bit of like extra money on the side, especially for stay-at-home moms.
Oh wow. So like
Yeah,
it's
I
like the
can
whole
send it
thing.
to you if you like.
Yeah, send
Yeah.
me the link so I can actually put it on the show description. It would be really, really cool to do that. Especially because I have a lot of stay-at-home mom listeners, so I know that they would really enjoy this. Anyway, a final message to the audience. I just want to let everyone know that I thank you, Rella, for being here. This was really like I really love hearing about your journey. I do want you back though, when you have your
I'd
other
love to
book
come
coming
back.
out.
Yes, of course, I'd
Let me
love
know
that.
when the book comes out so that way I can have you again. And everybody that's out there listening, you heard her story, all of her journey, ups, downs, challenges. And content creation is not for everyone. That's for sure. But we're really happy that at least you are really contributing something valuable to our children. So I really want to thank you for that, and also thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, Francesca. I appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good one. And for all of you listeners, until next time.